As you shape, create, stretch, and step into your purposeful brand, your purposeful business, and your purposeful life, here's a little insider tip. It's time to start extending that purpose. How about starting with making friends with purpose? Well, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. This is Lana Ski, hostess of the Supernova podcast, and this is your weekly invitation to greatness. Kathy, welcome to the Supernova podcast. It is absolutely amazing to have you on the call.
Thank you very much, and it's absolutely gorgeous here in Palm Springs, California. Wonderful to know that technology has allowed us to be able to talk together from South Africa to Palm Springs, and think about how clearly this is. So
exactly.
Terrific.
Yeah, the world's just gotten so much smaller and so much more connected, which is really what we're here to talk about, communication and connection and all those things that come in between.
Absolutely.
But before we tack into that, again, just congratulations on all the amazing success of your books. It's phenomenal to hear about that. Your book, It Doesn't Hurt to Ask, that is all about communication, was named the best book finalist by USA Book News. Congrats. And your other book is also doing really well.
And thank you very much, Madeline. And the thing of it is that I believe the reason they are doing so well is because they are written very simply and very authentic language. And I wrote down things that we assumed everyone knew, like one of the chapters in face-to-face networking is a whole chapter on how to shake hands. And people, all of us experienced the whole idea of handshakes, very wimpy handshakes and all of that. And I personally did not know and understand how valuable people would find that, but I'm realizing now that was one of the smarter things I put in the book, because it continues to be an issue. And again, across the world, there are different ways to greet people. But yet, I wrote this book for how we greet people in business in the United States. And people didn't know how to shake hands. Now they do.
Yeah, there's so much different things to it. There's so many layers that go into a shaking hands experience. It's just connecting with people and standing in your integrity and owning who you are. It's quite a few dimensions. It's not just two hands coming together.
Well, and not only that, I think the biggest thing that I had learned when I was, you know, when I trained this, I learned that men waited to see if we were going to shake hands first.
That awkward moment. It's like, what do we do?
That's it. And so one of the things that I really maintain is important for women to get your hands out right away so that uncertainty time period doesn't happen.
Of course, because that's just, especially in the business environment, no matter how confident you are, that's it ends up hurting your personal brand.
Absolutely. Very quickly. Absolutely.
The conversations, it seems to come up so much, or parts of the conversations seem to come up so much with so many people, is this kind of face-to-face networking, and people kind of get so overwhelmed by networking events, and they prefer to go online, because they just kind of feel like, you know, it's less intrusive, it's less overwhelming. And equally, on the flip side of the equation, there's all these people who look at online media and just cringe, so exposed, so vulnerable, and they find comfort in the face-to-face interactions. How have you kind of perceptioned where people sit with putting themselves out there and making valuable connections?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on putting that so clearly, what the issue appears to be out there. And so this is where I'm at. You know, obviously, I believe strongly in face-to-face networking, and I became the expert on that first. Then when social media came along, I decided that I needed to learn how to do social media, or else the younger people would never believe what I have to say about face-to-face networking. And I think one of the reasons when people get overwhelmed with social media is that they go to a presentation. And here, in the same class, this is how you do LinkedIn, this is how you do Facebook, and this is how you do Twitter. and all of us are presented at the same time, and they throw up their hand and say, number one, I don't have time to do it. Two, I don't understand. And so in both cases, if the face-to-face networking is broken down, and let me give you a tip that will be very helpful for people regarding deciding and what they want to do for face-to-face, what events they want to go to. First of all, I don't know who invented the word networking. I've been able to trace the word back to the 14th century, but obviously I can't talk to the person who came up with it and what they meant. But it strikes so much fear in people's hearts that it's, you know, and I don't know. I came up with a new card other than business card. I call them contact cards, and that is starting to catch on because that's what a card is. It's a contact card. But I think the biggest thing is this is how I decide what events I go to for networking. Well, and I don't even view them as a networking event. There are hundreds of events that people can go to. They just don't happen to have the title networking event. And for some reason, people think that the networking event is the one that they are absolutely going to find their new clients and their new friends. But let's take it at a different approach. There are all these other events. What if you developed your own criteria of what kind of events you want to go to, which in reality are always a networking event? You are networking the minute you walk out your door. The truth is not wrong. So I use the criteria of, I ask myself two questions. One, will I learn something? Or two, will I have fun? If I cannot answer yes to either one of those questions, I don't go. If I can answer the yes to both of those, I am there in 2 seconds flat. And I'll give you an example. Sunday coming up, I'm invited to my first ever polo match. And number one, I know I'm going to have fun. Number two, I know nothing about a polo match. And I can add the third one in this case, the weather's going to be phenomenal. But the people that I meet at this polo match are every bit as much a possible client or a new friend as any place else I would ever consider going to a networking. So you see, if you look at it as where I can have fun or learn something instead of saying I'm going to go networking, you see how it takes the charge out of that.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm just thinking back to like when I was really, really big into the networking thing, the event thing. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
And, I know.
At that point, for example, I was in the entertainment industry, so then I was in events, and I remember going to like a local events industry thing. Going, okay, great, I'm going to meet potential clients there. And not only were none of the other people people putting together events, they were all chartered accountants. Like, how did this happen? Like, how did this get so misaligned? And mm-hmm. we end up pitching to the same people. We end up pitching to our peers in a lot of these events. The same happened very much in the coaching realm. A lot of coaches go to these coaching sites trying to pitch another coach to become their clients. Yes, it's possible. We all need the support in the other ways. But we're not really thinking of what's sustainable and what's really going to support us and who our ideal client is. So it's just kind of always interesting to see that play out.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I will say very clearly, I don't go to events or label networking events because that is exactly what's going to happen. Or people go there for the food, and they go and hang out with the same people. And the other thing that is so important is that you've got to be aware of what's going on in your community. And, you know, people just scoff at me because I read the paper yet, and, you know, I pick up all the little papers in the neighborhood and stuff. That information helps me have conversations with people. And also, if I don't read all the horrible news that's going on in the world, I mean, you can get the headlines really quick if you want to, you can watch the TV, but I read the ads and everything. And then, like, for example, I just had the wonderful experience of being a volunteer to go help pick olives on this place that's absolutely not normally accessible, and I got to be on the grounds and learned all kinds of things. It was because I read a little tiny ad in the newspaper. So I think what makes me, people say, well, you're just so interesting, you're going and doing all these things. Well, it's because I found some mechanisms to keep myself, you know, aware of what's going on. And at these networking events you're talking about where everybody's just trying to sell stuff to each other, they're not talking about what's going on around them very much.
And that's really what it comes down to. It's being authentic in that space. It's being real. It's showing up as a human being rather than being a walking, talking flashcard or banner, which is what a lot of people resort to being.
And you couldn't have said it better. That's it. And the key to being, and I had a conversation this morning about how important it is to be authentic. It is majorly important to be authentic. And some people, when they go out, they act differently. You know, well, I'm in a professional mode right now. And interesting, today I posted on LinkedIn an article about who conversational starters. And one of my very favorite one is, you know, and I wrote, and I'm still kind of laughing about it because this guy was so, thought I was off the wall. And this is what I do. When I go to an event, I extend my hand, I smile, and say, hi, I'm Kathy Condon, and tell me something great that happened to you recently. I start conversations that way. This man said online, he wrote it on LinkedIn, he said, don't ever approach me at a professional meeting or something like that. And I was reading that and I thought, wow, I've been doing it for about 6 or 7 years and it works perfectly, because if you ask somebody what great thing happened to them recently, they smile, you're connecting positive stuff from them, and then they invariably, if you listen to the answer, you get easily enable them, you can ask another question very, very easily. And you can learn about the individual. And like you were saying, people, instead of going to sell at events, go to an hour event and meet only 3 people and have a conversation with them so that you become familiar with them. And then what I do is I go home and I connect with them on LinkedIn and social media of all areas. So that's how I'm starting to tie the social media into moving into the face-to-face networking. And it's working well.
Serendipitous that we started our offline conversation that way. I must have read your mind.
Yep, we actually did. Yeah, we did really well. And we're already connected to LinkedIn.
Exactly. So, thumbs up. we're on the right track.
Absolutely.
So phenomenal to see these kinds of things play out. And you know what you were saying, going back to hanging around buffet table and hanging around that, it's like, what are we even doing? I remember one event that I went to and I knew nobody there. Like, you'd think at least you'd have one connection, and I specifically try to go to networking events without somebody with me if I can, because I find that then I meet more people that way and I'm able to engage more. It's something that I've tried practicing as much as I can, and unless, you know, another person will also benefit from that event, then I won't not go because they're going. But you really need to be in the practice of being courageous and just owning what it is you do and just staying curious, because otherwise you just shut yourself out from all the amazing opportunities that are coming your way.
And that's the word. Just stay curious, absolutely. And let me share with you, maybe the listeners will help them when they walk into a room. And I love the idea that you said you go by yourself. And I usually, if I go with someone else, I don't have normally nearly as good a time. Because if I go with someone else afterwards, we can sit down and, you know, go down and have a cup of coffee or drink afterwards. But the bottom line is, going alone enables me to meet new people. So this is a phenomenon that I write about in my book, and I've never heard anybody else talk about it, which I find fascinating. But I am happen to be a person that's good at seeing patterns. And so I figured out that when you walked into a room by yourself, to the right of the door, there normally is nothing there. There may be a trash can or a palm tree, but not anything. There's not the coat rack, the buffet's not there. Occasionally, the registration table's on that side, but then you would just go behind them anyway. And you stand up against the wall, and you look around the crowd, you start breathing, you get your act together, you know, and say, you know, because this is where you're going. I hate these events. I really don't want to come alone. I want to have, you know, your brain. And everybody's brain does the same thing. So nobody has the market on that thought process. But what you want to do as you're standing there is you want to look for the person standing all alone. If you want to make yourself miserable, try to go up to two people that are standing face to face.
Yes. It's
very, very hard breaking into that kind of thing.
For sure.
And if two people are standing side by side looking out into the audience, you know, to the rest of the crowd, that's pretty easy to go up with. But the most interesting person in the room could, at that time, be the only person be standing by themselves. And I have to say this, as a speaker and trainer, I walk into a room often and people know each other and they're all communicating with each other. And I stand there and often just smile because I can see, well, they're like networking with each other. But no one comes up to me because they don't know who I am. And then, of course, after our speaker train, everybody wants to talk to me and stuff. Sure. But as a speaker and trainer, I know enough to go and look for the person standing all alone. But you've got to keep in mind, just because a person's standing alone doesn't mean that they're not an interesting person. They could be the most interesting person in the entire room. And you're the one that should go up to that person, because think about it, when you stand all alone, you feel like, you know, I've got to do something here. I can't just stand here. And that person feeling the same way. So if you go stand up against the wall, look for somebody standing all alone, and then go up to them, you both win that way.
For sure. For sure. And what's kind of been your experience of shaping the best conversation notes so that they're really authentic and they really, I think, serve the other person? Because more about the other person than it is about you.
Absolutely. And it is not something that, excuse me. So first of all, going up to someone who you don't know can happen very easily by doing a couple of things. Number one, if they have jewelry on, and notice that I'm saying something way off base for most people, but this whole thing about, you know, somebody has a great pin on and stuff. And I did this with a city council person one time. I said, you know, what a great pin you have on. And I said, what an interesting pin you have on. And she said, well, thank you. And she went on for 5 minutes to tell me about her trip to Venezuela. So what happened is it gave me an opportunity to find out about Venezuela. Why was she in Venezuela? Who did she go with? It kept the conversation. And then my question, you know, what great thing happened to you recently? Like, if someone said that to me, I would say, you know what? My family was here from Belgium over the holidays, and we had a chance to do various things. That person could ask me all kinds of questions. The depth of a conversation, starting a conversation, is, hi, how are you? You don't know what happened to that person as they walked in. What do you do? May not have a job. Those are such rote questions that, you know what, we don't really care about the answer, and we don't learn anything anyway from them. And if you ask a senior citizen, like, who's quite aged, how are you, you will get 15 minutes of conversation, possibly, about all the health things. And that's not where you want to go in a conversation upon meeting someone new. You want to find out something about them. What, you know, what's of interest to them? And then I'm going to take you to the next step. That's not even the place to talk about your business at all upon the first meeting. Just learn something about them.
Yeah, treat it as research, really.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. Absolutely. I'm going to use that. That's, I like that. Absolutely. It is research. And you know what? I heard a financial advisor the other day. I was in a major meeting, and he was talking about networking. And he said, it's kind of that felt work for me. He said, and I met a window washer. And calling a window washer, you know, is not a client for me. And I'm sitting there thinking, the man's not thinking real wide here. Number one, he may run into somebody who needs a window washer right away. But secondly, who says a window washer doesn't need a financial planner?
Of course.
See, and he was dismissing something based upon their title, which I found absolutely fascinating.
And we don't know, this, as you said, the circumstance or the context or the situation or the story behind it. It could even be just a stepping stone to something else.
And who knows, maybe he developed this from scratch and he's got a multi-million-dollar window washing business.
Exactly. Again, just on that, judging a book by its cover.
There you go. Yes. Unbelievable what happened. And so you've got to, so the first book was called It Doesn't Hurt to Ask. As you can tell, questions are incredibly important to me. You ask the questions, but the second thing is that you have got to listen to the answer, or else it's not going to be good. And I think that's the other thing, face-to-face, that we may not be terrific at, is learning how to listen.
True. So how could a person practice listening more effectively?
Great question. You know, and somehow I think it's how I personally have gotten better by listening better on the telephone. You know, because you don't have any of the body language and stuff to deal with. So I think that's one way to do that. And secondly, just make it, say you are going to learn how to do it. I mean, it's got to be a conscious effort. It isn't something I don't think that it just happens very easily. It is a habit that you have to get into. Let's put it this way. I don't think you're born with the talent to listen. So it's one of those things that for the new year you might want to put it on your agenda.
For sure. No, it's really, really true on that. I mean, I remember when I was doing my coach training way back, and at one point we graduated to doing telephone coaching, and I was like, I'm freaking out. Like, I need those verbal cues. I need to be able to experience that thing. So now you don't have that, and it's amazing much more intuitive you get to be, or at least you get to practice being, when you don't have that, and it actually zooms you into the conversation a lot more.
Absolutely. And again, people can tell when you're not listening. You know, they can. In fact, there was came across this morning from help a reporter out, and they said, what can a leader do in a meeting? And which would be better for everybody concerned. And I wrote, you know, don't look at your phone all the time, which of course fits the same agenda as when you are, in any place. You don't want to be on your phone the entire time. And that's one of the things we probably should have covered. As much as we like technology and everything, we definitely should be putting away our phone, which I, of course, didn't, which I thought I had turned off on ringing before I started. But I've gotten the habit of the minute I leave the house, I turn off my phone because I don't want those phone calls coming and things. And it's just really disrespectful, I think, to keep looking at your phone all the time.
Well, also, I mean, send so many messages. It's either you're not interested, this is boring, you've got someplace else you'd rather be. And again, it just puts up those barriers, boundaries. Don't want to go connect with that person, because how do you pull them away from whatever it is you're pulling them away from? Do you even have the opportunity to do that, or, you know, you don't know what it is, so such a disconnector.
Well, and you think about it, well, somehow managed quite well before, you know, and again, how I do it, if there happens to be a major emergency, that I'm expecting a phone call, I will tell the person otherwise. And it was interesting because I had recently here a coach visited me, and we were sitting there having lunch, and my phone rang, and I didn't answer it. Her phone rang, and she immediately picked it up. And she sent me a note later. She said, "I can't believe I did exactly what you teach us not to do, answer the phone while we were having lunch." And I, you know, so it again, that's the one thing, I guess what it is that we have a lot of new habits that we have to work on now. That stuff doesn't come easily, so the best thing to do is, well, like you are, is be a coach, get the coach to help you, remind you to do various things. You know, like one of the reasons why I started teaching on communication, because recent client couldn't, when she would talk to me face-to-face, negative, 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 and she really didn't even have a clue she was saying was so negative. So it's a, yeah, it's a communication world out there that we've got to communicate face-to-face, we've got to communicate on social media, we've got to communicate by our writing if we choose to do that. But the overall writing thing is stay authentic. Be who you are. And because you're not going to remember who you said you were before.
And those masks, especially, you know, when you bring them into a networking event, they're so hard to maintain.
Absolutely. Or remember what you said last time when you run into the next one.
Hard to even think of that, let alone, like, what you said to third person down the corridor when you start talking to them.
Well, that's a really, really good point. So, yeah, I just to be genuine. And I, the other thing I think about being genuine is, like, today, when I read the paper, I noted that one of the gentlemen that works for the economic development office here in our community just got appointed to a very high-level position. And I think we've got to remember that face-to-face networking isn't all just about going into a meeting and talking to people. It's when I got out a note card and I sent them a handwritten note and I put in my note card in it. And it was interesting. I was smiling as I was writing it. I smiled as I mailed it. And I know he'll be smiling when he gets it. It's a matter of doing a bunch of little things to build relationships. And those little things can be social media, they can be face-to-face, they can be note cards. That's how we build relationships.
I love that. That's a brilliant way to redefine or just really get clear on what communication is.
Thank you.
Beautiful. If you haven't quoted that, I think you should. That could be your next tweet going out.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I may enlarge it for a new blog.
So there we go. Absolutely. Yeah, so it's the double pips.
Absolutely. Okay, one of the things is, I believe, and I don't care what anybody is saying, I still believe that contact cards are one of your most important assets. And I'm not, well, first of all, the contact cards are for your physical face. Face me. And again, I know you can touch the phones and so on, and they can transfer information. First of all, not everyone's that tech savvy. Secondly, not everyone has the phones to do that. Thirdly, I go back to every single place you go, you are networking. So let's say you're standing in the grocery line, and all, you know, the line's really long, and you start talking, and you find out someone who works for so-and-so. And it says, you know, well, what do you do? And I, well, you know, I'm a speaker and trainer. I'm face-to-face networking. And this has actually happened to me. And they said, really? Do you have a card with you? And I said, absolutely. Gave them the card, and the next thing you know, I was hired. And what if I hadn't had anything to give them? And this is my biggest pet peeve, is meeting somebody out in the world who doesn't have a card. I give them the card, my card, and say, okay, I will absolutely get in touch. And they never do. It is...
Or they didn't have a card to give you back, and then you're...
Exactly.
It's lost in the bubble.
They have no card to get me back, and I have no way to get in touch with them. And that's because people are really, really, really getting bad at follow-through. So that's one of the issues. So I just maintain that you need to have them with you at all times, even though you have international clients. But yesterday, my car, my battery died. Next thing you know, the man putting the battery in my car happened to be from Chile. Guess who wrote a paper on Chile in college? I mean, we started this incredible conversation. And I want to have coffee with him now because I want to find out when I wrote the paper. You know, I'm just, again, it goes back to your great word of curious. I'm just curious, how have things changed and, you know, and all of that. So number one, the contact cards are hugely, hugely important. And secondly, where you exchange them, and this is the thing, instead of meeting someone and shaking hands and say, here's my card, hopefully you're wearing a name tag. And that's the other kind of big tip I think I would want to leave, is that really have your own name tag. Have it. I have a magnetic one with just my name, Kathy Condon, on it, which is very, very, so that when I go up to someone, you know, they can look and see my name, but so we're connecting those, that piece. And you don't have to wear the ones that fall off all over the place, or your name's too small. And it was interesting. Someone just told me they went to a major convention, and you know how they do the lariats, and they have your name way down on your stomach, and you can't possibly see whose name, you know, the name on it again. It's just really helpful to have your own name tag. And so when you go out, and I have like three of them in case, you know, I change purses, and one of them's always in the car. So the contact card and the name tag, and then finally, as you heard me say, the handwritten note. We're going back 100% full circles. If you want to be remembered, you send a handwritten note in the mail, and I've checked it out. Younger people are thrilled to get them because they have never gotten any personal mail. They're just thrilled beyond words when they get it. So no one can convince me that a handwritten note is out of style versus sending an email, clicking it, it's gone forever, or opening up your mailbox and going, wow, someone made me feel significant by sending me this card.
Absolutely. You get to feel all the energy that they've poured into it. And with media going the way it is, it's just so much more special. There's just so much value in that. It's something that's tangible.
Tangible, and, oh, I forgot to mention, also put your contact card in the card when you send it, another one. And don't view it as being advertising yourself. Just view it as helping them, you know, make sure that they have your contact information around. I never, ever view it as advertising.
Yeah. Or even just a way of connecting the dots. That's like, oh, yes, you were the person who did this.
Exactly. So the three things you really need are the contact cards. I really think you find your life much more simple with a name tag and then the note cards to be effective in face-to-face networking. None of those are very expensive. So the tools to be able to go out in the world are not that much. And you exchange, oh, I forgot to mention, instead of giving them the contact card when you meet and shake hands, have the conversation with them. And people are always awkward about breaking away from someone. This is how you do it. You say, you know, like, it was great meeting you, Frank. By the way, do you have a card, you know, a contact card? And you say, oh, yeah, sure. And then that's where you exchange the card at the end of the conversation. Because then you really got a lot to connect it with the card. You're not standing there at the card trying to figure out what's going on. And that's where you exchange it, instead of just shoving them in everybody's hands as you meet them.
Absolutely. And it's, again, I guess it keeps you in your power as well, because you make a, you know, you're leaving on that note, so they leave on that space. Where if you kind of start lingering, you start dissipating that energy and you may go off topic and off purpose and back to the weather, and the conversation loses its panache, its fizzle, and its purpose.
And you don't feel like you're walking, they don't feel ever like you're walking away from them, you know.
True.
And the other thing is, needless to say, you can probably love this topic, and I've got a whole lot more tips on this, but the other thing is that when you go to a one-hour networking event, plan to meet no more than 3 people, because that way you can learn about someone, and then it also gives you an excuse to go, you know, like you're talking to someone for 15 minutes, you know, and you can tell that you've covered all the topics, and you can say, you know what, I promised myself I was going to meet 3 people, and I've been standing here talking to you, and I need to, you know, move on so I can meet 2 more people. It's lighthearted, it's authentic, and it works.
Brilliant. And then you bring in the social media as a way of just nurturing that relationship, keeping in tabs with them, and just kind of constantly being visible without feeling like a Facebook stalker or any of those kind of energies that people might associate with it.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. I went to L.A. to a major conference the first part of December, and sitting next to 2 people, you know, 2 various people that I can think of just offhand, we had various conversations, so I had their contact cards. And so I came home, linked up on with LinkedIn, and I don't know if I did Facebook. I tend to use professionally LinkedIn, you know, really to the biggest extent. But to make a long story short, the one on the left that where I was sitting with is a reporter in the LA area, and she asked me if I would like to do a live video interview. Gee whiz, I think I probably would be really good to do. Then the man on the other side had a radio program, and I've forgotten exactly what the title of it is, but anyway, he's gotten in touch with me since the 1st of December, and we've set up a radio interview. So, you see, you meet someone at an event, you connect with them on LinkedIn, and like you said, you're out there, you know, and again, I don't know about you, but I post, you know, minimum once a day something on LinkedIn. And because I do want to keep myself visible, and I don't talk often about my work, but I'm, you know, every once in a while I label something networking tips, you know, so that it brings the identification back to the fact that I'm a networking expert. But bottom line is that social media is so important for that reason. And then also, today I was talking to someone and said, you know what, you really have to go connect with so-and-so. So I looked her up on LinkedIn. And again, keyword on social media and LinkedIn, instead of saying, I'd like to connect with my professional, whatever it is, always put your own wording in there to let them know why you want to connect.
Oh, yes.
It's just amazing to me how many people don't take that extra time.
No, absolutely. Especially if it's somebody that you haven't built a connection with and that you're wanting to network with, that, yeah, that's been out of your sphere circle. Personalize that to give them a taste of what that connection could be, because they're getting overwhelmed. I'm sure they may not be getting requests, but they could be in a lot of requests. And if you're not being authentic, if you're not showing up and being your own power of that, they're not going to see you.
Exactly. Well, like today I got a request, and actually I was kind of laughing about it, but somebody asked me to connect who was a makeup artist. Okay, this is interesting. Is it because I need makeup, or, you know, what? Anyway, I just kind of looked at it and laughed and thought, well, this is interesting. So what I did is I accepted her asking me to be on LinkedIn, and then I was feeling a little whimsical today, and I said, I'm just curious why you decided to connect with me. Did I say something brilliant, or can I help you? And it's amazing how many conversations I've started with new people by being lighthearted like that. But again, as you probably can tell by now, I do have a sense of humor. I think the world is way too serious and a whole bunch of stuff. But the bottom line, she wrote back, and we're talking back and forth now.
Absolutely. And that also kind of just goes back to the funny business card thing is people collect business cards like they're, I don't know, ornaments or something. To put it like the same social media contacts, you know, sometimes there's a bit of an ego there and you just want to collect as many people as you can. But it's not about how many friends you have or subscribers or all that. Even the same with mailing lists. It's not about having 10 million on your mailing list. It's about the quality of the relationship you have.
Absolutely. And, well, and the other thing is that I think one of the ways that I found out how it works connecting with people using social media is I was going clear across the United States to South Carolina to meet my daughter from Belgium. And we were going to be on this island for a length of time, and my book had just come out. So I put event planner, Kiowa Island, South Carolina, and up pop two event planners. And so I thought, well, this is interesting. So what I did is I connected with them on LinkedIn, and I said, I need some advice. Could we set up a phone chat? And we did. And the reason why I wanted to talk to one of them was is the fact that I thought, gee, I can have a book signing while I'm there, you know, connect with my vacation. But what I learned from them, and they said, she laughed and she said, Kathy, of all the months of the year that you don't want to come to Kiowa Island and have a book signing is because there are no events going on in April because everybody is at weddings, and the whole place during the month of April is all about weddings. There are no events. Now think of what, how would I have known that?
Oh no, you wouldn't. You would have lost a lot of money, potentially, depending on how you went about it.
And I would have taken all the books with me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, huge piece. So, you can see why I believe so strongly in social media as well. They just have to work together in this day and age.
Well, as we wrap up, tell us a little bit about how you can connect your books and follow your work.
Well, the easiest way for the books is to go on Amazon, and you put my name, Kathy Condon. I'm the only one that comes up, so my books are available there. And then I also want people to know that I really do speaking engagements. I'm very proud I'm going to be doing a major keynote speech, which is what I really love, and do training on face-to-face networking as well as coaching on it. Like we could do that on Skype easily, the kind of conversation that we had, and we could get into specific examples. So my website is Kathy Condon, Kathy with a K, CONDON.net, or you can and you can also get a hold of me at Kathy@KathyCondon.net, which is my email address. And I would be delighted to be in touch, and certainly people can ask to connect with me on LinkedIn.
Well, Kathy, it's been great chatting to you, and again, all the best and congratulations on your successes.
Thank you very much. I honestly can say I am proud to be a self-published author and have books in the black. It's a nice feeling.
Oh, yes, yes. So,
all right, well, thank you for the trust.
Absolutely.
Give yourself permission. Permission to be amazing, bold, generous, valued, celebrated, inspired, and transformed. Because when you choose to live from courage and be authentically real, and you choose to make the moment, meet the moment, step up, and step in, being the true illuminary that you really are, and honoring the supernova within, that's when you honor the invitation to greatness. For more information, head on over to www.lenaski.com.